Amen. Beautiful choir. Thank you, Walter and Matt. That is that spirit stuff. We don't communicate in the same ways we do throughout the year in the summer. And for that anthem to be sung on this Sunday indicates an openness and a response to the spirit that calls us always and moves where it will. Because we're going to talk about love, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of love. We're back in the book of Ephesians this morning, as we move through this last full summer month, exploring ourselves, the community gathered. The letter that's included in our New Testament and addressed to the saints who are in Ephesus was most likely not written only to that community. Based on the way that the opening verses are constructed, scholars think that the original version of this letter had a blank space for the insertion of a place name from verse 1 in this book to all the saints who are in blank, who are faithful in Jesus Christ. And I note this to suggest that we may then appropriately fill in the blank this morning with Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church. And I'm going to further personalize this passage for us by using my name and not Paul's as we open our reading. That will sound a bit more strange, I know, but it personalizes things in inescapable ways. So let's pray first. Gracious God, we pause in the midst of my words and the meditations of our hearts to ask that both may be acceptable in your sight and all that follows, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. And now from our reading, listen for the word of God to the saints who are in Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church. I, Joel, am a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you. For this reason, I bow my knees before God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. And I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through God's Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We'll conclude with our final two verses at the end of my sermon message. For now, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I pray this indeed, as Paul did with the communities that he served. This letter was probably not written by Paul himself, but by a well-known disciple and companion of Paul after his death. That's partly why I felt it okay to insert my own name before the verses. We just read these verses, this writer's prayer for the readers. There are several in this book of Ephesians. This prayer to the Ephesians, as with many other letters in the New Testament, was intended to be read out loud to a particular community. As I noted before our formal prayer this morning, this writing was probably composed as a kind of circular letter intended to be passed around to a number of early Christian communities, to a group of churches, and read aloud when those communities gathered. And there's really no reason, as you read through the book of Ephesians, that we should treat this letter and its appeals as some evidence of difficulties in any one of the churches that it may have been read to. But it is written for and addressed to a particular situation, a perilous situation, namely the ever-present tendency that the church in every age, no less so these early communities than us, the church in every age has to allow the world and our own creaturely comfort in the world to decide and control our lives of faith when we gather together. We desire that our lives of faith, our lives served in the service to the kingdom of God, that those lives be as comfortable as our lives outside these walls, filled as those lives are with comfort and security and plenty. It occurred to me as I thought about this morning, we ought to be beyond that, our desire to do church in a way that is most comfortable to us. But we're not. The author of Ephesians reminds us that this community, the church, is the place where heaven and earth have been brought together in harmony. This place, this community, is the place where the kingdom of God may enter into the kingdoms of this world. But unfortunately, that description says more about what we'd like it to be, what we ought to be, than what we actually are in our present world. So the whole purpose of this letter then, wherever it was read, and now whenever it is read, is to show the true nature of the church it is read to this morning us, and to remind the hearers again this morning us, the Christian life to which we are called. In another letter in our New Testament, almost certainly written by Paul to the Romans, we are instructed not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds in Christ, that we may discern what is the will of God, that most mysterious of realities in our lives that both comforts and troubles it. The verses, the prayer that we just read, is a prayer of hope that we may comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of that transformed life of love itself, so that we may be filled with the fullness of God. This is, I believe, the very heart of Christianity and of our Christian lives. The broad, long, high, and deep love embodied by Jesus was and is the primary vision and imperative for Paul, for all those who wrote in Paul's name, for the early church. And even if we've lost our focus a bit in the centuries since then, it should be the principal goal and practice for our lives as community together today. Understanding, living, and sharing the breadth, length, height, and depth of love. Now these things, as Lily and I noted earlier, understanding and living and sharing Christ's love are not as easy to do as 21st century Presbyterians, because it requires a level of sacrifice that we're most often simply not prepared to offer. We offer love that is safe. We offer love that is conditional. We offer love that is authentic, but that is still rife with restrictions and boundaries. Socially, economically, religiously, politically, we are by and large among the privileged. Why would we want to be transformed or renewed by giving away the life and the love that has created such comfort for us? Well, only because that is what our faith requires us to do. Our lives as Christians must always be in search of and in service to the breadth and length and height and depth of love with a capital L. This love is found and it's shared in our personal lives and in our communal lives, in the private and in the political. And we have a way to enter into each from our tradition. Let's begin with ourselves. The gateway into the love that we seek for our personal lives, the transformation that is at the heart of our individual faith, can be imagined through the biblical and scriptural metaphor of being born again. Now, I know we're a bit intimidated by that language as mainline Presbyterians. We've allowed our more conservative brothers and sisters to have a near monopoly on this metaphor for the Christian life, because we understand and we've allowed others to define being born again too narrowly. But rightly understood, being born again is exactly what the breadth and depth of Jesus' love allows and requires. To be born again, born anew, is to be born from above, that is, born of the Spirit that is God, born of love. To be born again is to enter new life in and through the Spirit, a life centered on the love of God. Like Nicodemus in our very familiar scripture story from the Gospel of John, we understand this language too literally and we miss the point too often. The point of that classic text and of being born again is to experience a spiritual rebirth, a personal transformation, the depth and breadth of God's love that is not only for us, but of us, within us. And yeah, this is something that may happen once in some remarkable way or another that we can share, but more often it happens continuously in our journey of faith as we die to an old way of being in and seeing the world and are reborn, resurrected in the Spirit so that we may discern the breadth and the depth of the love of God, not in our own narrow and shallow offerings of love. Being born again is the breadth and the depth of love. And with that love, broad and deep in our personal lives, we can then turn to the world. The gateway into the love that we seek for our political lives, our lives with others all around this world, can be imagined through the biblical and the scriptural metaphor of the kingdom of God. The Christian life, our life as Christians, is about being born again and about proclaiming the kingdom of God. We love most faithfully and most fully under the lordship of God in this person of Jesus Christ when we, like our Bible, combine sharp criticism of the world's injustices and systems of domination with a passionate advocacy for an alternative vision. Rooted in love, just love. This criticism, this advocacy are grounded in our understanding of the character and the passion of our God. That character and that passion are revealed most fully for us in and through the person of Jesus. And probably the best shorthand summary of Jesus' message and passions for our lives together is imaged in the kingdom of God. A profoundly communal, social, political symbol. It is the length and the height of God's love. Though we most often break it down into parties and differing ideologies, in the end, politics is about the shape and the shaping of human community. And again, let's be honest. The shaping of human community around the world has been and is structured to favor the powerful and the wealthy. Being powerful and wealthy isn't necessarily a bad thing, but being ignorant of, or worse, indifferent to the imbalance of power and privilege that wealth creates is a problem. What we need is more disenchanted members of the privileged class, more financially comfortable people like us who are disenchanted with systemic injustice and racial discrimination and sexual exploitation and any other practice that diminishes the humanity in any of us. What we need is more disenchanted members of the privileged class, more financially comfortable people like us who are committed to the transformation possible through the long and high love of God that is a part of us. The kingdom of God is the length and the height of love. And friends, nothing short of that broad, long, high, and deep love of God that surpasses conventional knowledge will do. The church in every age, in Ephesus and in Pee Wee Valley, in any place, is the historical witness to this love for the world. We're reconciled to God through the one we call Christ in such a way as to imagine and to realize that love, new love, transformed love, resurrection love. Our prayer this morning that we read in these verses from Ephesians, our prayer every morning answers the question that tugs at our hearts whenever we dare to love as Christ loved. That question is, can love really transform the world? The prayer in Ephesians, our prayer that calls us to the breadth, depth, height, and length of love, concludes with this promise. O God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. And so to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen.